Friends, when the conversation turns to contemporary Christian music and the songs that are being played most often today on Christian radio, you know, many of the artists and the musicians that we listen to and enjoy today, they really have become some household names. I'm thinking about some artists today like Chris Tomlin or Lincoln Brewster, Mercy Me, Third Day, Jeremy Camp, Toby Mac, Hillsong, Mandisa. You know, what's so fascinating, family, about today's contemporary Christian artists is the fact that they all share a similar lineage that can be traced backwards to one very influential and one of the earliest contemporary Christian artists. He was a young singer-songwriter whose name was Keith Green. Keith Green was an incredible songwriter. He was a gifted musician. He was very good friends with Bob Dylan. And that can kind of tell you the circles in which he moved. He was a musician. He was a singer. He was a very down-to-earth individual. Perhaps you didn't know that some of the songs that you sing in church still today are actually Keith Green songs. They're some of his classics. I'm talking about songs, some of them we sing right here at Grace Baptist Church. There Is a Redeemer is a Keith Green song. Oh Lord, You're beautiful. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. You know, Keith was a prolific songwriter. Perhaps he would have offered even more wonderful songs to the Church of Jesus Christ had it not been for his tragic death in a plane crash in Texas in 1982. Keith Green died when he was just 28 years old. And looking back on his death, experts are convinced that his death probably could have been avoided, because the plane that Keith Green was traveling on that day was overloaded with too much weight. In fact, I want to read for you just the two or three opening paragraphs from the news story that appeared just 2 days after Keith Green's death. Here was the newspaper report from Van, Texas. A twin-engine plane that crashed in flames in the East Texas woods, killing gospel singer Keith Green and 11 other people, never got above the trees because it was overloaded by more than 200 pounds, a federal investigator says. National Transportation Safety Board investigator Warren V. Wandell said the excessive weight was also not distributed equally, further restricting the plane's ability to gain altitude as it left a private landing strip near the Last Days Ministry religious retreat, which was founded by Keith Green. The plane had only traveled about 150 feet from the runway when it hit some trees, Mr. Wandell told a news conference on Thursday. There was no power failure or structural failure with the plane. The plane was simply overloaded at takeoff and could never gain enough airspeed. Friends, here was a terrible tragedy, a painful, heart-wrenching disaster that reverberated across the entire Christian landscape, but it certainly could have been avoided if only the pilot, if only the other technicians had paid attention to the warnings related to weight capacity. But when those warnings went unheeded, disaster was certain. Dear friends, we're going to take our Bibles again this morning, and we're continuing a study here in Proverbs chapter 1. And friends, today we want to interact with a text of Scripture that reminds us that when people refuse to listen to the loud, urgent calls of Lady Wisdom, what follows is the pain of certain disaster. Friends, I want you to join me here in Proverbs 1 as we're going to continue with part 2 of this message that I've entitled, The Call of Lady Wisdom. Now, if you're just joining us, last Sunday I shared with all of us that in part 1, we looked at verses 20 and following. In that section, King Solomon creates this literary character. He creates this character that we would call Lady Wisdom. And last Sunday we said that often good writers of writing literature will often use personification in their writing. Personification is where a writer gives human qualities, human characteristics, human behaviors to something that really isn't alive in real life. Well, here in the book of Proverbs, which is wisdom literature, King Solomon takes wisdom. And he takes wisdom and he creates a character. He creates this Lady Wisdom, this female character. She's a loud preaching prophetess of sorts. She stands in the most public places and she beckons people to listen to her. She beckons people to incline their ears and to follow her wisdom. Last Sunday morning, family, we concluded our time with Proverbs 1:23. We looked at this great promise that comes from Lady Wisdom. She makes this wonderful promise to all those who will listen, to all those who will incline their ears to her. She promises to pour out her spirit of wisdom and to make her words known. Well, friends, this morning we're going to keep pressing forward in this section of Scripture where Solomon is talking about Lady Wisdom. Today we're going to come to verses 24 to 33. And what we're going to do this morning, friends, is we're going to turn the coin over, so to speak, and today we're going to see what happens to those people who refuse to listen to Lady Wisdom. We're going to see what happens to those people who stubbornly shut their ears to the calls of Lady Wisdom. Well, family, as we take a closer look this morning at this section of Scripture, what is promised to those who refuse to listen to God's wisdom? As we examine this text, what does the Bible say you get when you reject the calls of Lady Wisdom? Family, today in God's Word, I want us to talk about three disastrous results that occur when you reject the counsel of Lady Wisdom. Here's the first one. The first disastrous result. Number one, you get mocked and ridiculed when calamity comes. Number one, you get mocked and ridiculed when calamity comes. Would you look with me in God's Word today? I hope you have your copy of the Scriptures. We're in Proverbs chapter 1, and I hope you'll follow with me as I read from verse 24 down to verse 27. Because I have called, and you refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no one regarded. Because you disdained all my counsel, and would have none of my rebuke, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm, and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Now, family, when we were together last Sunday morning in Proverbs 1 here, we unpacked three different groups of people that Lady Wisdom is hearkening to. She's crying out to three different groups of people here in all the public places. Do you remember? Do you remember from last Sunday? What are those three people groups? Well, look back, if you can't remember, to verse 22. Verse 22 of chapter 1, last week we talked about the simple ones. The simple ones, people who are naive. It's not that they're stubborn or that they're proud, it's just that they're naive, they're untrained, they're unlearned, they're uneducated. That was the first group, the simple ones. Secondly was the scorners. The scorners, these are the people who think they know. They think they're so smart, but they really don't know. They despise the truth. They mock the truth. They scorn the truth. And then thirdly, we talked about the fools. The fools. These are just hard-hearted people who obstinately persist in their immorality and in their sinfulness. Family, in verse 23 last week, we saw how Lady Wisdom is calling all three of these groups to turn. Turn away from their foolishness. Turn away from simple-mindedness. Turn away from that mocking and scorning. Turn away from obstinate, stubborn immorality. And Lady Wisdom says, turn. Turn to me. Turn to me for wisdom. Turn to me for real life transformation. But Christians, as you and I know very well, don't we, from the teaching of God's Word, the ugly truth about our human condition is that we are all rebellious sinners by nature. And as a result, our natural inclination is to never go God's way. Our natural inclination as sinful human beings is to go our own way. Our first desire as sinful human beings is not to listen to Lady Wisdom, but to ignore her, to spurn her instructions, to disdain her wise counsel. Well, here in just a moment, family, Lady Wisdom is going to talk about her response. What is the response of Lady Wisdom to those people who refuse to hear her? Those people who continue in their stubborn willfulness, in their obstinate rejection. We're going to look at her response in a moment. But before we get there, friends, can you just see with me? Would you first see this? Look at the lengths to which Lady Wisdom is trying to get people's attention and turn them towards the truth of God's wisdom, the truth of God's Word. Look at verses 24 and 25. Look what it says there. I have called, she said. I have called, you refused. I stretched out my hands toward you. You didn't respond. You didn't react. Verse 25, you disdained all my counsel. You would have none of my rebuke. You know, family, when I read those verses, I can't help but think of a very famous Aesop's fable. There's a famous Aesop's fable where a black crow is trying to talk sense to a stubborn pig. One day on a small farm, a pig was eating his fill of acorns under an oak tree. And this pig is feasting away, and as he's eating, he starts digging deeper and deeper into the soil under the tree. He's rooting around down in there. And well, up in the tree was this wise old crow. And the crow said, hey, you better stop digging around down there, as if you damage the roots, that tree will wither and die. Oh, let it die, the pig replied. Who cares, as long as there's acorns to eat? Family, here stands Lady Wisdom. Here's Lady Wisdom trying to give wise counsel. But just like that stubborn pig, people don't want to listen. So how does Lady Wisdom respond when tragedy strikes? Look, family, at the key word that you need to underline in your Bible in verse 26. It's the word also. Also. That is such an important word. Lady Wisdom says, because you refused my counsel, because you scorned my words, because you disdained my teaching, because you laughed at my counsel, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes, when destruction comes on you like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish and pain, when it hits you. In other words, she says, you might have been laughing a few minutes ago, but who's laughing now? Who's laughing now? Family, do you see what a great reversal has happened here? Now listen, I know some of you read that verse and you're astonished by that. You read this scripture that talks about Lady Wisdom laughing and mocking and you can't believe it. And your initial response is to say, well, that is so unkind. That is so cruel. How could you possibly laugh at someone else's pain or someone else's misfortune? Friend, let me tell you the truth. Lady Wisdom isn't laughing because she's cruel. She isn't laughing because she's unkind. The reason she is laughing is because it is so absurd to reject her wisdom. She is laughing at the folly of people who would ignore her and continue down the road to destruction. You know, friends, as a dad, I can relate to this. I can relate to this. I can't tell you how many times over the years I have had to warn my teenage sons about not binging on so much junk food and gulping down so much soda. Here are my teenage sons. They're having a sleepover. They're having some friends over from school. And there's pizza. And there's chips. And there's Doritos. And there's 2-liter bottles of soda everywhere. I mean, the debauchery of these young people. I mean, wow. And I tell them now, I said, boys, listen, you better take it easy. All right, I survey the landscape here of all the food and the pizzas and the sodas. I say, guys, listen, you better take it easy or you're going to get sick. Well, what happens? You know what happens. They keep pounding the pizzas, pounding that junk food, drinking that soda like it's going out of style. And what happens? They get sick. They get sick to their stomachs. And what do you think I do as a dad when that happens? I am laughing. I am laughing. Not because I'm an evil person, but because they're foolish. I'm laughing because they have ignored the wisdom that I was speaking to them. Dad was there. Dad was there with the loving wisdom they needed to hear, and they didn't listen. And now I'm laughing. I'm laughing at their folly. I'm laughing at their foolishness. You know, one wise person said it like this: when you buy something for a song, you may have to face the music later on. That's right. Look, that's what Solomon is talking about here, Christian friends. This is what Solomon's trying to point out. He's trying to point out this cause and effect relationship when it comes to rejecting wisdom. You reject wisdom, all right, there's a cause and effect relationship going on here. So family, what valuable lesson can we take away from these scriptures we read? Here's the lesson for us, Christian. We need to open our hearts. We need to receive God's wisdom now. Receive it now, before the calamities come, before the storm hits, before the crises unravel, before the calamities of life strike. Why? Because once they strike, it's too late to go back and try to implement wisdom. Look in your notes. I gave you this wonderful quote. One Bible scholar said it this way: wisdom rejected cannot be reclaimed after she has withdrawn her invitation. That's exactly right. Remember the parable that Jesus told in Luke 12? Luke 12, about this rich man who was obsessed with building more and more barns to hold all of his stuff. And the man tells himself there in Luke 12, verse 19, "Soul, you have ample goods laid up for yourself for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry." But God said to him, "You fool, this night your soul will be required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." You see the point of that story. Here was this fool who just listened to his gut. The fool who listened to his gut, he didn't listen to wisdom. He wasn't thinking wisely. And once he realized his mistake, it was too late. When would he have realized his mistake? When he was dead. It was too late then. Listen, friend. Don't wait until the storm hits. Don't wait until the tragedy strikes before you wake up and realize that, oh, wow, I've made a terrible mistake. The wiser course, dear friend, would be to listen to God's wisdom daily and to live your life skillfully so that you can avoid those storms and tragedies before they strike. Believer, don't wait to seek God's help. Seek it now. Take His wisdom in now. Seek it daily. Open the Scriptures daily, my friend. Discover this amazing truth from God. Truth that can protect you, guide you, help you, lead you, take you where God wants you to go. And then, friend, as you receive that truth, then obey that truth. Obey what you read. You know, Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6, I think is a great challenge for people who are living in really any generation. Isaiah 55, 6 is in your notes. Seek the Lord, when? Seek the Lord while He may be found. call upon him while he is near. Now, let's move forward, okay? Let's talk now about a second disastrous result that occurs when people shut their ears to Lady Wisdom. Here's number two. Number two, you get no help when trouble strikes. Number two, you get no help when trouble strikes. Look at verses 28 through 30. Again, this is Lady Wisdom speaking. She's the speaker here. Verse 28. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke. Christian friends, I know many of you are still just as discouraged as I am. You are as disturbed as I am about this horrific school shooting that took place last week down in Parkland, Florida. As a result of that school shooting, you know it, 17 young people died. 17 high schoolers didn't come home from school that day. Police investigators are working very hard. You're watching all the news reports like I am. They're trying to uncover all the details associated with this mass killing and this young man and what was happening behind the scenes with him. But you know, I wonder how many of you families saw the truly devastating news that was starting to break over the weekend. Really, on Friday morning is when it all started. This new revelation that's coming forth, that there was there on the scene a Broward County Sheriff's deputy. He was there that morning, there on the scene. He is a school resource officer. He actually is a sheriff in that county. He was fully armed. He was fully trained to deal with active shooter scenarios. But according to the news article that I read, Broward County Sheriff spokesman Scott Israel said this, or speaking about Scott Peterson, who was the man. Mr. Peterson was armed when the gunman Nicholas Cruz opened fire at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, but he never went into the building that was under attack. He said the school resource officer instead took up a position viewing the western outside entrance of the building. So in other words, family, during this school shooting, here are all these students inside the school under attack. Students are huddled in corners. Students are hiding under their desks. They are praying. They're crying. They are hoping that someone will hear their cries, that someone will come and rescue them. But this officer did not respond. He did not respond, apparently because his cowardice got the best of him. Here was an officer who had a firearm, who had training, who knew the students were in trouble, but when they called, he didn't answer. Friends, when we move into our text, verses 28 and following, Solomon writes that when fools, when scorners, when mockers, when they reject the wisdom that Lady Wisdom offers them, one of the bitter consequences of that insolence, one of the consequences of that disrespect is that Lady Wisdom will not come to their aid when they need it the most. We talked about that sheriff's deputy down in Florida. Why didn't he come? He didn't come because of fear, because of cowardice. But Solomon writes that Lady Wisdom won't come because the people had rejected her. She won't come because of the people's deliberate refusal to accept her. Look again at verse 28. They will call on me and I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. Why? Why? Is it because Lady Wisdom is so cruel? Oh, she's so unkind. Is it because she wants to see people suffer? No. No. Look at verses 29 and 30 again. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Because they would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke. Friends, do you see what's happening here? Receiving God's wisdom brings a certain set of circumstances and realities into your life. But at the same time, rejecting God's wisdom, rejecting the truth of God, also brings about a certain number of circumstances and realities into your life. When the hard-hearted person, when they shut out God's wisdom from their thinking, when they shut themselves off from God's wisdom in their decisions, in their actions, the consequence of that choice is later on down the line, sure enough, when trouble comes, when adversity sweeps down upon them, Lady Wisdom isn't going to show up with assistance. Why? Because she was shut out from the beginning. You know, friends, when I think about this biblical principle that Solomon is teaching, I can't help but think about a very famous event that happened in the history of the Israelites. When the nation of Israel essentially told God to take a hike. The nation of Israel looked around them. They looked around at the other nations around them. And all the other nations, all their neighbors had kings. All their other nations had kings. They had royal majesties. They had these kings who would govern them and guide them and lead their armies. So in 1 Samuel chapter 8, Scripture says that the people of Israel began to demand a king. They wanted a king. They weren't satisfied with having the Lord God be their king. They wanted an earthly king, somebody they could see, somebody they could touch. Well, in verses 10 and following of 1 Samuel 8, Samuel, the prophet, comes and speaks to the people. And Samuel is almost like Lady Wisdom. We could call him Mr. Wisdom. Here's Samuel the prophet, Mr. Wisdom, and he's going to try to speak some truth to the people, to get through to them. He starts to tell them the hard truth of what's really going to happen if they do appoint a human king. And Samuel says, listen, do you really want a king? Here's what it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you your sons. Your sons are going to be drafted into his secret service team. Your other sons are going to get drafted to serve in the king's army. Your daughters are going to be taken from you, and they're going to become the king's cookers and bakers and candlestick makers. They're going to become his perfumers. They're going to become his servants. And your flocks and your fields and your grain and your resources are all going to be purged from you so that you can provide for the king's household and all of his servants. And you're also going to start paying taxes into the king's treasury. But the real key verse, friends, is in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 18. Samuel says, and in that day you will cry out because of your king, whom you have chosen for yourselves, but the Lord will not answer you in that day. See, Samuel gives it to them straight. Wisdom says, the Lord's a good king. Just stick with him. But if you reject that idea, then you just need to know, if you're going to still go your own way and you're going to reject having the Lord, just know this, the Lord isn't going to bail you out. So believers, what practical insight can we take away here for our own lives? Well, the scriptures here are a great reminder to us about our daily decisions, that the daily decisions we make have lasting consequences. Look, you put your head down, you march ahead with your own ideas and your own plans, you want to reject God's truth as you go, you want to reject God's wisdom, then God says there's an awful penalty that comes with that decision, and the penalty is this: wisdom rejected will not return to help you when trouble strikes. If you want to kick out God's insights, you want to turn away God's wisdom, you want to do that, you want to ignore the fear of the Lord. We talked about that in this message last week. The fear of the Lord, that's that reverential understanding of God, taking God into account in every part of your life and every aspect of your life. If you want to reject the fear of the Lord, what happens next? The Bible says, what happens next is on you. It's on you. You don't want God, you don't want God's wisdom? Okay. What happens next is on you. You don't get to push Lady Wisdom out the door and then think she's going to come back and help you when you're crying out in pain. That's not how wisdom works. So friends, here's the challenge for us today. Commit yourself today to walk in wise paths, to be led by Lady Wisdom, to be informed by sacred scripture. Be a receiver of God's truth. Be a receiver of God's wisdom and not a rejecter of God's wisdom. You know, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 8, these are such tremendous verses. It doesn't matter what your age is. You can use these verses from Proverbs, young or old. It doesn't matter if you're a child, a teenager, college student, midlife, senior citizen. These verses from Proverbs are powerful. You can take them with you. You can use them immediately. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn from evil, and it will bring healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. I like James 1:5 also. We've shared this scripture numerous times in this series. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Well, family, let's pause right here, okay? Let's just review. What does the scripture say are the disastrous results of rejecting the wise counsel of Lady Wisdom? What do you get? Number one, you get mocked and ridiculed when calamity comes. And number two, you get no help when trouble strikes. Here's number three. You get the painful consequences of your poor choices. Number three, you get the painful consequences of your poor choices. Look at verse 31 and down to verse 33. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them. The complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. You know, Christian friends, I want to talk to you for a moment about the way God dispenses judgment. The way God dispenses His judgment. You know, when we think about the way that God delivers just judgment on people, most of the time, as Christians, we typically think about the way God sends His judgment actively. Actively. For instance, family, in the Bible, we see times when God actively sends down fire to consume people. He did that with the wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, right? Actively sent down fire. How about the time that the sons of Korah rose up against the leadership of Moses? God actively opened the earth in an earthquake and swallowed up all these rebellious families that were causing trouble. Well, who can forget the way that God actively judged the Egyptians? Remember the plagues that God sent to Egypt? Water turning to blood, infestations of frogs and flies, fiery hail coming down, even darkness overtaking the land. But family, listen. We need to remember something that the Bible also teaches, that God can send His judgment on people in a passive way. In a passive way. And when that happens, family, God doesn't do something actively as much as God really just takes a step back and He allows sinners to reap the natural consequences of their own fallen nature and their own bad, sinful choices. And the Bible teaches this truth too in Romans chapter 1. Two times in Romans 1, Paul talks about what God does, God's response to sinners, and how He often gives them up, Paul says. God gives them up. He gives them over to their own sinfulness. So in other words, family, one of the ways that God, even today, continues to pour out some judgment on sin and sinners is by simply stepping back and giving sinners over to their own sinful desires. He steps back. He removes his own restraint and he allows sin to run its inevitable course. Well, what happens? Well, you know what happens. Sin leads to painful, devastating consequences. Poor choices lead to those devastating, painful consequences. It's what the Bible talks about in Galatians 6:7, right? The sowing and reaping principle. Do not be deceived. God isn't mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. Family, this is the truth that Lady Wisdom is now going to drive home. Here in Proverbs 1, Lady Wisdom says, because they hated knowledge, because they refused to operate by the fear of the Lord. Look at verse 31. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way. They will be filled to the full with their own fancies. To say that a different way, family, when people stubbornly refuse the way of wisdom, when people stubbornly refuse the insights of Lady Wisdom, in the end, the painful results are exactly what they deserve. Look in your notes, Dr. John MacArthur is so right. He says this, quote, the ultimate punishment is God's giving a people to the result of their own wickedness. That's right. Now, of course, John MacArthur has his doctorate in theology, but you don't have a doctorate, you don't need a doctorate in theology to understand this truth. Even regular Christians can understand this reality that foolish choices lead to painful consequences. I mean, goodness, how many times have you heard this famous saying, you made your bed, now lie in it. Down in the South where Will Stanley's from, they say it like this, you can't waller with the pigs and not get dirty. You can't sleep with the dogs and not get fleas. You see, family, this is wisdom. Poor choices lead naturally to painful consequences. This is the truth of God's Word. This is the truth that needs to be heralded in every generation, including ours. Look at how Lady Wisdom continues in verse 32. For, that's an explanation word. For the turning of the way of the simple will slay them. The complacency of the fools will destroy them. What's he saying? Lady Wisdom is saying there, if a person insists on living by their own fleshly instincts, that stubborn carelessness will lead to their own downfall. But family, I want you to be encouraged by this. Look at how this section ends. Even with these strong denunciations, Lady Wisdom still concludes this section with one final pleading. This is so encouraging. Did you see it? Look at this one final pleading for people to turn. Look at the contrast that opens up verse 33. But, she says, whoever listens to me will dwell safely and be secure without fear of evil. Oh, friends, what a sweet kindness this is. What amazing grace this is. Here's Lady Wisdom speaking strong words of what's going to come, condemnation and consequences. She's pronouncing judgment and what's going to come if you ignore her. But listen, even until the last moment, she's still pleading for you to turn. Even at the last moment, she's still calling for you to listen. Listen, listen to me, she says. She's calling, she's pleading, she's urging. She says, turn to me. Turn to me and get wisdom. That's the safe way. Oh, friend, I want you to take just a moment right now and see where you are. Friend, would you take just a moment here and see how this text intersects with your life? Friend, can you honestly say that your ears are open to the teachings of Lady Wisdom? Are you living your life daily with a basic reverence for the Lord? Do you really take the Lord into account throughout your daily life and throughout your daily choices? Do you really love God's wisdom? Do you love God's Word? Do you love the wisdom of the Scriptures? Not only when they're preached at you on Sundays, but what about the other 6 days of the week? Whose wisdom are you operating by these other 6 days? Is it the wisdom of God? Friend, I'm asking you today, what is the guiding force behind your life? What drives your thinking? What drives your decisions? Is it your own fleshly instincts? Or is it the wisdom of God's divine word? Friend, only by opening your heart to God's truth can you have a life of safety, a life of blessing, a life of true happiness. But to do otherwise is to choose the foolish path. It's the path away from wisdom and into danger. And the ultimate destination, as we're learning today, is painful consequences. You know, perhaps you're listening to this message today and you're not a Christian. Friend, I want you to know today, God loves you. God loves you so much. He sent Jesus Christ into this fallen, broken planet. He sent Jesus Christ so that you could be rescued from your foolishness, so that you could be rescued from your sin. Listen, I want you to know the truth. God isn't some evil overlord. He's not some cruel ogre. He's not some cosmic tyrant. The Bible says God takes no pleasure in judging people. He takes no pleasure in giving people the just penalty of what their sin and their foolishness deserves. The Bible says God's great desire, God's great longing is for people to turn, for people to wake up, for them to listen to His gospel, turn from their sins and turn to Jesus Christ, the Savior. Well, friend, if you're not a Christian, I pray today would be the day you would confess your sins, that this will be the day you would turn from that road of destruction and that you would turn to Jesus Christ in believing faith. Friend, don't spend one more day on this path of foolishness. It's a path of certain death. Not one more day. Turn. Turn to the path of life. Turn to the wisdom of God, which is for you in Jesus Christ, the Savior. Friend, call out to Christ. Invite Jesus Christ to be your Savior and your Lord. Well, family, as we draw this message to a close this morning, friends, my desire over these last two Sundays has been to give you a personal introduction to Lady Wisdom. I wanted you to meet her and come face to face with her so that you could hear her calls and then respond accordingly. Oh, friend, how thankful you ought to be. How thankful we should be Christians that we have a God who loves us, a God who has revealed and recorded His wisdom for us so that we can meet Lady Wisdom, so that we can walk with her, so that we can have our lives completely transformed. When we incline our ears to Lady Wisdom, the Bible says that is the way of blessing. That's the way of peace, prosperity, a fruitful life, and everything you desire in your walk with God. But friend, ignoring Lady Wisdom, spurning Lady Wisdom, rejecting her teachings, laughing at her insights, Scripture says there's only one destination at the end of that path, and it is destruction. It is destruction surrounded by regret and sorrow and agony. So what do you get when you reject Lady Wisdom? Well, we've learned today it isn't a pretty picture. You get mocked and ridiculed when calamity comes. You get no help when trouble strikes. You get painful consequences of your poor choices. You know, family, it's been more than 35 years now since the death of Keith Green in that tragic plane crash there in Texas. Just ask some of the most popular contemporary Christian artists today. They'll tell you. They would tell you about the incredible impact that Keith Green left on the Christian music industry. But you know what? No discussion about Keith Green is ever complete without a sad acknowledgement that his death could have been prevented. If only the pilot, if only those technicians had been more careful about listening to the wisdom of weight limits. Had they not been so careless, had they not been so cavalier, perhaps Keith Green would still be with us today. Christian friends, as you go out to a new week, never underestimate the power and the influence of Lady Wisdom. To accept her is joy and blessing and peace, but to reject her is sorrow, regret, and pain.
Thanks for listening. This Preaching for a Change broadcast has been brought to you by the Grace Baptist Church of Hazleton, Pennsylvania. For more information, visit us online at mygracebaptist.church. If you enjoyed this broadcast, then share it with a friend on your favorite social media network. And be sure to join us next time for more enlightening and encouraging biblical exposition here on Preaching for a Change.